All right, welcome to another episode of IsCast. It is now the month of March. It was my birthday yesterday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Happy birthday to me. And we finally have Austin here with us today.
Yay. Hello, everybody.
Welcome. Hello. So we have the full crew.
It's exciting.
We'll see how this goes.
The table is crowded.
It is a full house.
He's not kidding. It's really crowded. Like, there's no space on this thing.
In poker, you have five cards, and there's five of us.
Yeah. Moving along.
Okay. Yeah. So I was hoping it would actually get warmer now, but apparently we have two snowstorms coming in a row.
Oh, that's right.
Tonight.
I just heard about
that. March is usually the snowiest.
Maybe a
of
foot
the
of snow. Hopefully Jeez. Not. I'm hoping for six.
Winter is coming.
I really just
season three. Let's, Game of
Thrones. It just needs to stop snowing on Sundays because then they never cancel school.
Yeah.
Because
it's been like 34 for like a while now.
It's been dropping.
Snow's been melting. We're like, oh, it's coming.
And we're ready for it.
You know you've truly lived in Minnesota when you wake up in the morning and say, oh my gosh, it's 33 degrees. I can go outside without a coat.
Yeah. I know. I saw people walking around barefoot yesterday. It was shocking.
Yeah.
That's just stupid.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. It was not a
Little people know that Minnesota is actually full of hobbits as well.
Of what?
Hobbits.
Hobbits, okay.
I thought that was funnier than it actually was.
It was not. I didn't understand.
It's a bad reference.
All right. Okay. I think we wanted to start off with a quick update about our film project, Down Under Heaven. Austin wanted to say something?
Yeah, like, you can introduce yourself. On our first episode, we all said who we were, what we do.
Okay,
for
all right.
That. So if you just want to give a quick sound bite for that.
My name is Austin Smith, and I am 21 years old. I'm from Minnesota. And what I do for Intersection Studios is sort of hard to define. I've been very busy lately, and so I haven't had a full-time Intersection job. They like my opinion, and they like me to mediate when Ben and David start to bicker. So
I don't know what you're talking about.
That doesn't happen at all.
Part of the reason why they keep me around. So my relationship and my involvement in Intersection is evolving.
Cool.
Well, I think
we're all doing that.
Yeah, we're all evolving. It's less of like strictly defined roles and more of just a bunch of guys.
Yeah, I take a lot of pictures.
Bunch of
with
dudes.
The camera. I take
with raging goals.
Yeah, yeah. Just buff men. Yep.
I think because of that reference, we just needed to classify this podcast as explicit now.
Just guys being guys.
Oh, that was a Family Guy reference. Yeah. Just a couple of guys with raging goals.
Wow.
Anyway.
Wow.
All right, so back to Down Under Heaven.
Yeah.
Not going to spend too much time on it. Just wanted to give an update about that we are currently still working on the teaser. We did contract some work, which went pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Some progress there.
And
with
was
it
was that
effects.
A was that a local art? Was that a Minnesota?
Yep.
He's from the Twin Cities.
Sure.
He lives out in L.A.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Like everybody moves out there.
Well, for now, soon they'll move out.
Soon, come back. Very
soon. They'll be coming to us.
Anyway, yeah. I was going to say his name's Isaac. He is from the Twin Cities. Got a hold of him online, and he did a good job animating for us. We had to do a little tweaking with the rest of the footage. He did as much as he could for us in the time we had bought out. Yeah, we only had enough to hire him for about 6 hours, and he said he did about eight. I'm sure if we had enough money, he could have done everything for us and finished it, but
yep. So
here we are.
Yeah, me and Wade are rocking out on it. And
oh, so
Rob,
hard. So hard.
Is still doing some audio work as
well.
Yeah,
I was actually just talking to him. I'll have to
Wade
put that on hold.
Wade keeps changing the shot, whatever.
Oh, you
call
blame
it.
That on me?
No, I don't.
It's a dual effort here. Yeah. We're both changing it, not just me.
Mm. Also, it looks like
my
perfectionist
job.
But you know what?
Negotiating the grain between them.
No, we don't bicker nearly as much as you and David do.
No.
So,
it's never
so
vicious,
I just get my way.
Lee, I think you and I both agree that we may be changing the cut, but it's getting better. It's not. Yeah. It's for the good of the project.
Every step is a step forward.
It is. It is
forward
so
to the dawn.
So right now, Lee, you're working on, for those of us who've played Halo, the Scarab shot.
Yes.
Where the Scarab tank comes trotting through.
It's gonna be
the
epic.
Scene. And I'm working on the the background replacement. So what we have is our trooper kind of marching along a wall, and in the background is like a grass green field. We don't want that. We want kind of a building
industrial
look.
Because there are no green fields on Reach.
Nope.
Obviously.
Nope. Not when it's burning.
Right. So so I'm going in and roto-shaping out his entire body and then tracking in a background.
Cool. Yeah, and think that was it for any company stuff, unless anybody
had a short list. Hopefully, as the weather starts changing and we can start getting out to making shorts again, we're going to have more stuff to talk about that.
Hopefully we'll be wearing shorts.
That would be the
making
ideal.
Shorts.
Ben's trying to mouth something.
Just say it.
Okay. Do we want to talk about MLK at all? Since we did that, that's one of our bigger.
Well, we talked about that already.
It's delivered. I mean, nothing's changed. We just delivered it now.
Well, we accomplished something that was.
We did. It was, and you know what? We got a lot of compliments.
Yes, we did.
Our clients were very pleased, probably because this year we had
three cameras instead of
right,
two.
Right.
Yeah, and when higher quality cameras overall. And that is available now on Augsburg's YouTube page. So if you go to YouTube and search Augsburg College, it is an MLK. It is a short sort of montage of the performance. So if you're interested in that, you can have a look on Augsburg's YouTube page.
Cool.
Actually, also on Augsburg's note, what happened this past weekend was Scholarship Weekend, which is when all the potential incoming students come to Augsburg to compete for scholarships, and I did a bunch of work for a variety show that gets done for that, and so clips from that are available on the Honors Program's YouTube page. If you go to YouTube and search Augsburg Honors, you can find that, and the whole theme this year was James Bond, because Skyfall just came out, and the best thing that I did for that was I took the opening chase scene from Quantum of Solace, and I took out James Bond's face and put in the Honors Director's face instead. It looks very cheesy and tacky, intentionally
very
so.
But it works.
But it works.
Very funny.
Yeah.
Very funny.
Awesome. So continuing to local events that happened, one cool thing that happened was Google partnered with some local businesses and had an entrepreneur day.
Yeah, so if you don't know what Google Entrepreneurs is, it's basically just a... It's a part of Google that really tries to strive to do or to help out with small business and stuff. And this is a worldwide effort. There's a place like they created buildings where they have community work offices, so you can either rent out a space for a day or for an extended period of time. And so there's a similar place here in Minneapolis called Coco. And they partnered with Coco to have this event where they had a whole bunch of speakers and had a couple of different workshops. And they were also announcing that they're going to have this two-year-long partnership with Coco to have continuing workshops and such like that over the next 2 years, which is really sweet and awesome.
And these workshops are targeted at small businesses and small business owners?
Specifically entrepreneurs and startups. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was confused at first because Coco looked like Team Coco.
Yeah, that's what
like,
I thought
like
too.
Conan
you thought
O'Brien,
that too?
Yeah.
Because it's like totally big C, small O, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a place for people to come together, focusing on those small startup people that just need a place to get together. I know we struggle with that as well, with us.
Don't have a physical building.
Internet.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and especially if we're going to have a meeting with somebody or entertain a guest of some kind.
And the related thing to that I'm hoping that they're going to expand is in L.A. and in London, they have the Creator Space? Is that the building they call it?
Yeah, and that's what I was saying, that Google built is this creative building.
Yeah.
I know that there's one in London. I'm not sure about L.A.
Yeah, there's one in L.A. too. Okay. Yeah, and I'm hoping they continue to expand that because it's such a great thing to have where you can go in and they have broadcasting equipment set up for you already. Like, you still need to rent for it, but you can go in and use industry standard tech, which I think would be really, really nice to expand to.
I think Coco is just space, though.
Yes, Coco is, yeah, but the actual creator space that is the custom-built Google buildings.
Word of thought, though, Coco is rather expensive, though, when you look at all the numbers and stuff. So if you can work out of your house... Like, I guess for other entrepreneurs who might be listening.
It's good for a short-term kind of thing, but if you have any plans to have any kind of extended contract, it may be good to look into something of your own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with that in mind, we kind of wanted to continue with, business type of topics, because, we're trying to start up, we're trying to, find out who we are and what opportunities we have here in Minnesota, and I don't, the state... legislative, they haven't really done a good job. They took away a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we'll talk about this and try and steer clear of strict politics.
Damn government.
there were some pretty popular movies.
And Wade just steps in it, just goes right for the gold.
Yeah. Yep. Because, you know, like, no Fargo filter. Was here, Mighty Ducks, all that.
Yeah, and then it Mighty all stuff. Stopped. Yeah.
Juno was filmed here, though.
Yeah, well, on the whole, like, Juno was done here, but that was a...
Fargo?
If you can call it independent. It was Fargo. A Fox Searchlight film, which it's they call good. It independent. It's not.
Even though Fargo's not Minnesota.
Yeah.
No, it's really not.
Technically.
But yeah, like the but overall, the in the past decade or so, the all like no one comes to film in Minnesota anymore mm-hmm. because the legislature
do,
got rid of.
Do you think
of
they just go to Vancouver now?
Probably.
That's where they're yeah. filming a lot yeah, of the, films now.
Yeah. And like, there's other states like Michigan, for example. They have like $100 million set aside for like tax incentive rebates mm-hmm. for people to come and film there. And I think Minnesota has less than $10 million.
Wow.
So. Where it's so small that nobody wants to come here to film because there's other states yeah. that have similar locales that offer them a better deal.
Mm-hmm.
I know there is a big lobby movement to increase that amount. I'm not sure if that is over now or if it's just beginning.
It has not gone to vote yet.
Okay.
I think they're still lobbying.
There is some legislation.
I believe they're trying to get that to go through in this session mm-hmm. of Congress. The legislature. Yeah, they're trying to get it pushed through this session, but I know there's a lot of other big hot button issues which we will not talk about because we are not going to get political.
Are you guys referring to that article that we recently talked about, the KSTP.com article where about a bill and production grants?
Yes.
I think okay. so, yeah.
Yep, that one. Because there are programs, and you can see a bunch of these programs listed on the Minnesota Film and TV Board
sure.
website, and like I think they were allotted somewhere around $10 million or something to last them for 10 years, and I think they've had it for 2 years, and you know they've already spent it all, and so they're trying to get more money to try and help foster more companies coming here to film movies or TV shows and that kind of stuff.
You said this bill has not yet been voted on.
I believe so. Correct.
Okay. We should be following that story.
Yeah, I'm hoping that there's some opportunities for us, if we're available, to go to the legislature and talk to, because I know as part of trying to get this passed, you know, filmmakers are encouraged to go and talk to their district representative to try and sell them on this. So I'm hoping there's some dates listed that we could possibly go in, or a couple of us could go in and sort of represent mm-hmm. some of the small filmmakers and sure. go and talk to some of our representatives
yeah.
to get this funding.
And though there is a lack of, there is still a lot of opportunities out there. I know there's the big Snowbait program right now, and there's also looking at the mnfilmtv.org website through IFP. There's a Independent Filmmaker Labs submission open. They have two categories. One is for a documentary, which is March 8th, and a narrative for April 5th. Aimed at productions that are in post right now, and they're fellowships, they call them. I'm not sure what exactly they provide. I'm sure it's an amount of money, but if anybody's in that post-production spot, yeah. you know, might be a good, might yeah. as well submit. I know yeah. there's a lot of programs out there for those beginning filmmakers, and it's only for
pie.
Like mm-hmm. you know, it's only for like maybe one or two, you know, three at the most people out of, I'm sure there's hundreds of people submitting. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
it's tough.
Well, before we move on, Ben and I have been doing a little bit of research here about films made in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out that Jennifer's Body was actually filmed partially in Minnesota.
Oh, great.
The awful
I don't, that's
movie.
Not, no, that's not something to be proud of. You should not talk
no,
about that.
Megan
no,
Fox.
It's,
that
no,
movie
that,
was
that is,
just a reason to get Megan Fox in sexual situations.
Other that movies have been filmed here? Recently, Contagion was, and that had Matt Damon, I believe.
Not the whole thing, though.
No.
Well, no, like one scene, obviously.
Right. What else? Field of Dreams was filmed here.
Yeah, that's an old one, though.
89.
But a really good one, though.
Right.
I'm not
but
just
okay. Ignoring so. Films that were in like the late 80s or 90s.
Yeah, we're talking about
there's
that's
very, there's very few things. There's
yeah.
Besides, very few besides things. Like maybe some independent produced
yeah.
Yeah.
pieces
yeah.
of
horror.
Yep. And I from what I understand with that, it's a lot of the independent ones that are here, they're wanting to come here specifically because it's Minnesota. And they're willing to take the sacrifices for the lack of tax incentives because they want to film Minnesota. I know one that was filmed here that a friend of ours, a stunt guy named Tom Ringberg, was in Memorial Day. That one was, I believe, that was that all filmed here in Minnesota?
Really?
And you guys, you guys are forgetting the old-time smash hit holiday classic, Jingle All the Way.
Really? I did not know that.
Mall America, come on.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Purple Rain was filmed here.
That's a movie?
Rain.
Yeah. All I know...
Yeah, Prince made a movie called Purple Rain.
Yeah, he made it with...
Oh, that explains it. Experience. The only movie I know that's related to purple is The Color Purple with Oprah Winfrey.
Super different. I cannot emphasize how different those two things are.
Another thing related that I watched on YouTube is a channel called What's Trending, and they had Bernie Burns from Rooster Teeth and Kevin Smith. Famous director, he...
Silent Bob.
Cult hit Silent Bobs. He's into podcasting now and doing online shows. I know he has one through Hulu and stuff like that. So they spent an hour talking just about how, you know, they made their success and you know, their business model and what entertainment is changing to, because...
Yeah.
Until recently, it was unthinkable for people to watch an hour live broadcast on YouTube your computer.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
I think YouTube as a distribution platform is really an interesting idea.
Yeah. And so they're just, you know, they're just talking about how it's changing. And, yeah, like, Netflix has House of Cards exclusive. Hulu has a bunch of exclusive, you know, trying to produce... these, you know, not going through the major studios.
Yeah.
And I don't think
I haven't really watched any of the Hulu ones, but are they really good? Because I know House of Cards is amazing. Like, really good. Like, HBO quality good.
Yeah.
Which is encouraging.
I haven't watched a lot of the Hulu ones. They seem to have a lot of British kind of shows. I know there was that, like, what is it, Misfits?
Oh, that was a superhero kind of thing, right?
Yeah. Yep. I don't know. It's just changing. So, you know, we're trying to figure out how do we fit into all this, and how do we use YouTube? How do we use other services or our own that we make up? And it's crazy that Rooster Teeth, they were kind of like the initiators of this online community-based entertainment platform, and you know, they didn't have YouTube, but they funded themselves through T-shirts.
Yeah.
And now they have sponsorship. You know, you can become a sponsor and stuff like that. And Kevin Smith was talking about how, like, podcasting and stuff like that, you don't really make money on that. Like, it's, you can't really make a business out of that. And if you're asking, how do I make a hit? How do I make it viral? You're not going to be successful. You shouldn't be asking that. You should just be doing something that
you're
passionate
what you
about.
Like to, yeah.
And hopefully you have the opportunity that becomes a success. They also had the lady Phoebe from Friends. I forgot her name.
Phoebe works. We'll call Phoebe. We all know who she is.
She did something too as well where I'm going to have to try to watch it and look up what it's called, but they got celebrities, and they did on the spot, just made up, like, this webcam interview, and she, like, acted like a, talked about problems and stuff like that, and it eventually, she went to, it wasn't HBO, like a Starz or something like that. They actually took it from the web and made it onto TV, and they're trying to get, you know, all those TV providers, they're trying to get a hold of this YouTube, you know, Freddie W, all these people.
Are they really?
Well, they're trying to understand what it means and bring some of it to TV as well. I don't think they're trying to take it over, but...
You never know.
Yeah, a similar thing to that is, on the Rooster Teeth podcast, they were talking about, they were in talks with some network providers to get one of their shows immersion on TV. And be that particular show's primary delivery platform, being TV, and they actually got into a pretty big discussion about it on the podcast of you know, what does that mean if you move it to TV? Because, like, there's people that are in Australia or Canada or that don't necessarily have the same channels available that we do here in the States or in North America that won't be able to watch it anymore.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is technology has changed because the lines are being blurred between TV and your computer because I can now, like, right now I got HBO and I have HBO Go on an iPad, which I can use AirPlay through my Apple TV to stream back onto my TV to have that big presentation on a, you know, 42-inch. And so, you know, why do I need cable when I can do that?
Right. And it's also, looking at it, there's all of our generation, or the young group, or people like Freddie W. and Rooster Teeth, that were all right on the edge of this change that was happening. And that now it's all the network providers who didn't think that stuff would go anywhere trying to play catch-up and change their game to adapt to what it is now becoming. It's like no one was prepared for it.
And I think that's what HBO is starting to have to struggle with because Netflix has House of Cards. It's an amazing. People love it. They released the whole entire show and just the whole season just at one time. And now, I mean, you can buy Netflix, and then you get this slew of other movies you can watch and watch House of Cards. But with HBO, you can't just buy HBO. You have to buy cable. You have to buy extended cable. And then, I mean, there's so much more extra to put into it. And you can't buy its own. So, and I know HBO released a statement a couple months ago saying that they weren't going to change their service like Netflix. Because, I mean, they just have too many cable contracts.
Yeah, they stand to lose too much money.
Yeah, I was going to say, it seems that people are really interested in this as in Netflix as a distribution service. After House of Cards was released, it was the most watched show on Netflix for a substantial period of
time. Netflix really positioned themselves well because they also got Disney. Once Disney has their, I forgot who they use now, but in like 2014 or 16 or something, they're going to be the online distribution of Disney.
The sole movies. Online.
Really?
Yep. And they already have a bunch on there. I was very, very excited yesterday to find out that Atlantis, The Lost Empire is finally available on Instant.
We almost watched that last night.
I've been waiting for that to become available on Instant for years. Yeah. Such a fun movie.
They have a bunch of the old classic animation movies
on there. I'm excited to see as that gets bigger because like they have their handful of like the classics that everyone wants to watch, and then they just have a big slew of all the new ones that nobody wants to watch.
Well, and I think it's going to help them cater to kids a lot more because they do have now, you can like boot Netflix basically into a kid-only, kid-friendly zone, which is kind of cool.
That's awesome.
Because it's great for parents because then they know that what is available there is not...
They won't click on the wrong thing and watch a movie thought
it's bad that that's what parents use to entertain the kids so they don't have to take care of them.
Which is unfortunate. We won't get into a critique of parenting.
So I think, you know, there's a lot of new stuff changing. I don't think anybody knows really where it's going. That's kind of the fun of it.
Yeah. But on the subject of what's changing to something that hasn't changed, the Oscars.
Yes.
The Oscars were last week, and for me and for probably several of the people around this table and for a lot of people around the world, that is the biggest night. For me, that is the biggest
Super
night of the
Bowl of movies.
Yes, I don't care about the Super Bowl. I'll do other things on the Super Bowl.
No,
I do not do anything.
Commercial. Wanted to leave. When I want to watch the end of the Super Bowl and you... Ugh.
I drove. Not my problem.
Anyway, back to the Oscars. Seth MacFarlane was the host. I thought he was brilliant.
Yeah, thumbs up or thumbs down.
A lot of people didn't like him, though.
Why?
All the older people did not like him.
Well, hold on. I've got a very interesting article here.
Okay, please enlighten us.
Yeah. It's an op-ed piece talking about why Seth MacFarlane is not the problem. Why he is not... Because people have gotten really mad at him for what he said and what he did and whatever. But the what this article is saying is... And they articulate it a lot better than I'm about to, but they just say that Seth MacFarlane is basically just the messenger. He doesn't believe any of that. He's been recognized by Harvard for his philanthropic efforts and for his charity work with anti-domestic violence people. So he himself is a good person for that sort of advocation. But anyway...
Can I ask for maybe me and other people don't know, what exactly are people protesting to with how he presented?
The boob song was one.
Yeah, I know one thing is it's the Oscars. It's supposed to be this glamorous, you know, high-profile event, and here he's doing boob jokes, fart jokes, which is...
I mean, it's also
it's
Seth
MacFarlane, you know,
and I'm not super
guy.
Sure what you were all expecting.
Yeah, that's the jokes he does.
Yeah.
So,
and like,
I mean, the other thing is he didn't write that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I don't think people understand.
And the other thing is, when you think about it, he didn't write that, but also any joke that he said on the air had to be vetted, I'm sure, by someone else, not even the writer.
Oh, yeah.
Like
another
like committee of people, they need to say, okay, is this good, is this bad? And I think that something happened there during the broadcast, because if you notice, in the beginning, during his monologue, he has, you know, slews of jokes. And then in the middle, when he's cutting to commercial and he's normally saying, like, okay, up next we have so-and-so.
Yeah.
And then he had no jokes. He just went to the commercial. And then at the very, very end, jokes came back during that portion. Mm. I think
what they said in this is that actually, there were some points where he's like, I wasn't sure we were going to do that joke.
Yeah.
And it, like, came up on his teleprompter.
Yeah.
And
the parts in the middle when there weren't jokes, what I almost think is the writers or whoever was in controlling the teleprompter and the final jokes that went on the air, they were seeing people's reactions, got really nervous about how people were reacting, and cut a bunch of jokes.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, shoot, now we cut all the jokes. There's nothing left. We need to put some back in. And so that's why it came back at the end. That's what it seemed to me of what happened.
And part of me feels that the Oscars, it's not a stand-up comedy. Like, when they do too many jokes and that's what everybody focuses on, it's like, that's not what it's supposed to be about.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's supposed to be this entertaining celebration. And so I felt that. And also, Bernie Bernstock did in his podcast about, he had a 17 minutes monologue.
Incredibly long.
In the beginning. And
most other people, they talk about
ridiculous.
The most 7 minutes practically.
Wow.
I did feel that was long, and it was like, what's going on? It's the Star Trek guy.
William Shatner's there.
And they're cutting, and I don't know. Mm. It was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I felt like they did, like, in one of the previous Oscars, I think it was one 2 or 3 years ago, when they had the short-lived thing of they had two hosts. It was DeFranco.
James. Not DeFranco. That's Annie DeFranco.
No, who was it? It was James Franco.
Anne Hathaway.
When they hosted, I thought that was a horrendous year for hosting. They were trying to make all these, like, sort of as the social media was coming further into society, they made all sorts of social media jokes. They're sort of trying to get that younger crowd in almost, and it bombed terribly.
Well,
and what I saw is this Oscars with Seth MacFarlane was the balance point, because they had, like, the jokes that appealed to the young people. It was a new face to hosting, but then they still had, like, they had Daniel Radcliffe and Joseph Gordon-Levitt come out and do a bit of little soft shoe song,
yeah,
which I thought was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't understand what they were saying, but I thought it was
had
wonderful.
The Sound of Music joke too.
Yeah.
Yep,
it says
brilliant.
Here in the article that they were trying to access that under 40 crowd. Mm-hmm. And it says that they did receive a 20% bump in that demographic.
Oh yeah.
Having Seth MacFarlane.
Okay.
It was some of their highest ratings in years.
Do you guys
whole show overall?
Remember, was it, I think it was the Oscars that Hugh Jackman hosted a few years
back.
And he did
Mercy me.
He did
Hugh Jackman.
He did these song and dance numbers, number after number, almost like, and he was talking about, you know, bringing back the musical or something like that.
Yeah.
Mm. It seemed more of like a Tony's award show that year.
Yeah, it did.
So in continuing with the topic of kind of an overlong host kind of imposing himself on the show, that was, I thought, was another example.
Mm-hmm.
But taking it away from film, more about song, about musicals, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, they had the theme of music and films, but I don't know. I felt they focused too much on musicals because they had Chicago and stuff like that.
Oh,
which
you mean
is,
this year?
Yeah, this year. And, like, I just don't think the theme was well
sure
prepared, I guess.
Yeah. Okay.
I think they could have done more, but
I'm not sure if you can really have a theme for the Oscars, though.
That's what they said, like, that's how they
wait this year they said it was,
yeah they were like, okay, this is
because they had Les Mis.
Yeah, they did Les Mis, the Chicago
they had like the extra musical, I guess. They had the woman who sang Goldfinger.
Yep.
Came out of,
Adele,
sort of out of nowhere.
Adele did Skyfall.
Yeah, well she was in there because of the Best Song nomination.
Yeah,
so like there's those couple, but there were more song, like, guest song appearances and singing in it than normal, if you will,
yeah,
in the
could
Oscars, as I do air quotes on the podcast.
Seth MacFarlane thing, though?
Hmm?
Partly. He does He does have a Family Guy with mm-hmm. making songs and musicals.
Sure. He has that great numbers. Broadway voice.
Yeah. He has an amazing voice. He has an album out. A big band album. It's wonderful.
He was trained by the same people the same couple that were Frank Sinatra's vocal coaches.
I can tell. He sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
I don't care what anyone says.
I thought that was shocking that they were still around.
Yeah, me too.
I'm like, what? Still training people 60 years later.
I think we can talk about the winners. Was there any upsets that surprised anybody?
I think
I knew Daniel Wu was going to win.
Well, everyone Best Picture. Pretty much knew that. Okay, so for anyone who doesn't know, we always do this thing that where we vote on who's going to win what.
Yeah.
Lee won.
20 correct outers out of what, 24?
But he did the research.
Quote-unquote research.
That's fair
Everybody
game.
Else does.
And
yeah, that's super fair.
Yeah, and he rubbed it in our faces. Oh, you love... Anyway, so you got Best Picture, right?
Yep.
And I think didn't everyone...
No.
Oh, I thought for Argo, too.
I thought Lincoln was going to do it.
Can we talk about the number of nominees for Best Picture?
There were six, right?
Nine.
Nine. Oh, nine.
Yeah. It changed 4 years ago. It went from 5 to 10.
Yeah, I know. And now they're like, we couldn't find another
good movie. Now, I think it's an overall change where it's usually like, it was always like there's four or five nominees. And that's like, you have to have that many. And now they've changed it. So if we don't think there's five that are good enough, we don't nominate five. We just nominate the two that are
also,
good.
But it's just very clear. Like, I had no faith that Django Unchained had any shot at Best Picture.
Yeah.
I think it was sort of a... Like,
they just pad the category.
Like
I mean,
it.
It's great.
But I mean, you get that in any Democratic election or vote or whatever. You get people who you're like, no, they're not going to win. But it's important to still have them in the running.
Yeah, because for a lot of films, even
or
being nominated.
That they were successful.
Yeah. Nominated is a big thing. Because you know, as soon as any film gets a nomination, if it's still in theaters, the run of that film gets extended by weeks.
Really?
At a time, yeah. Like if... Yeah, any film that gets nominated, you'll see it is in theaters longer. You know, unless it was one that's been out for a while, then it's too late for that.
And they just go straight to DVD.
Yeah.
Right after that.
Oh, yeah. Another upset. I don't know if anyone else agrees. I thought Wreck-It Ralph should have won Best Animated Feature.
I did not see Wreck-It
Ralph.
I haven't seen it yet. I liked the message behind Brave, and I liked that that was what won over Wreck-It Ralph.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Brave was a really good story.
Yeah.
I like that it was a Disney princess movie without her... Being
reliant on the prince.
Yeah.
No. I was a little disappointed with the actor in the lead role category. Daniel Day-Lewis won, which is great. Daniel Day-Lewis is awesome. He probably did great. I haven't actually seen Lincoln.
He has more Oscars than the girl.
Really? Meryl Streep?
Meryl Streep, yeah.
But having just watched like everything but the last hour of The Master last night, we couldn't finish it. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. We weren't going to do that. But Joaquin Phoenix is... something else in that
is
movie.
He really?
If you guys haven't seen it, it's an experience. Like, block out a couple of hours, prepare yourself, sit down and watch it. And we watched it on Blu-ray. It's just such an experience.
I'm sure there's some political, personal.
Oh yeah,
involvement with voting and
I don't understand why The Master was not nominated for Best Picture. Like, they had a 10th spot. Also, Django Unchained. What?
I mean, that plays to the subjective nature of film. That is inherent.
Yeah.
In all art, really.
Yeah.
It's bound to happen.
I really liked... I don't know if you guys heard about this, but... what's his name? Anthony Hopkins really gave it to the Academy.
Oh, because...
He basically told him to fall off a cliff.
Because he wasn't put up for anything for...
No, he said, I don't want to be... You guys are... This is a sham,
sure.
And I'm not going to, you know, kiss your behind in order to get nominated.
Yep.
So
That is a big thing. If you don't
play their game,
if you don't market yourself,
they campaign.
You're not gonna
for
be
it.
Like Tommy Lee Jones doesn't do that.
Yeah.
He just fuck it, I don't care.
Sure. Just lets it happen.
If I win, I win.
Was there another thing with Leonardo DiCaprio in essence? Because he's never nominated for anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's something else there. It's funny. People like Leonardo DiCaprio, great actors. They get sort of like sandbagged by the Academy, and Kristen Stewart, who looks high, still gets to go to the ceremony.
Oh man! Yeah,
she looks so trashy. It's ridiculous.
God, it was hot.
No, it wasn't.
Googling
Jennifer
the dress.
Lawrence.
We're googling the
we
dress.
We can talk about that and how
awesome. Yeah. She was good looking.
Kristen Stewart.
I agree with
though. Googling the dress.
So, okay. We were talking about how.
Oh dang! She was on crutches.
Was she? Oh, she was. Yeah.
Yeah, she was.
That's
she
how would you guys have liked to have seen the ceremony go? If it didn't satisfy your expectations in a certain way, what would have been better?
A little shorter.
Preferable. Okay.
Yeah.
It did go on super long. On the other hand, like. Yeah, like I always wanted to be shorter, but every year, like, I black out 6 hours to watch the Oscars,
sure.
And I'm happy to spend every minute up in front of the TV.
Well, and the thing is, if you showed up at the start of it, then it's a decent length affair. But if you sit there through the pre-show,
oh yeah,
and then it, and then all the discussion afterwards, like, Jesus Christ, yeah. This is half my day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I could say that for the Super Bowl, though. They have a big pre-show thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like, it is literally the biggest day in Hollywood, so you can't fault them for wanting to...
Oh, of course. No, of course not.
To cover it, but... Yeah.
Speaking of, the music theme they used, scores from movies to play during, like,
intro
going
and outro.
To intermissions, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I thought it was terrible that they used Jaws theme.
God, that was awful.
That was a... That
kick
was a,
people off the stage.
Yeah. That was terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, I do have to say, in that situation, I feel bad because that guy was about to be talking about the whole VFX artist issue, which I thought was good to use. It was a good idea to use that time to talk about an important issue. But
I don't think it is. I don't think it's responsible to utilize that time. Like you're an accepting award. Yeah, you can mention it, but don't.
Yeah,
I don't know. You can't like believe in Jesus and blah blah blah.
But,
you know.
The thing is, that also, I can't entirely feel bad for him because that jerk talked the whole time, and there was six other people or something around him that also won an award, and none of them got to talk because he just kept rambling, and then as a result, he got the Jaws theme and got shut.
Sometimes
off.
They decide before, like, okay, you're gonna talk.
Yeah, if we win,
it
you
looked
go
like there
talk,
were some other people that were trying to get up to the mic, though.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
You do feel kind of awkward and sympathetic towards the people who keep talking as the music gets louder and louder, and they're just still plugging away.
Yeah. They cut off his mic.
Did you guys like how when Best Picture came up and Ben Affleck is talking? And
I loved that.
No, he was so nervous and adorable. And then George Clooney's back there. He's like, I don't need to cut. I'm set. Everyone's listened to me already.
It's a spotlight.
Yeah.
Well, because it usually never happens that Best Picture doesn't win Best Director.
Yeah.
And Seth made a joke about that.
Like nobody knows who the director for Argo is.
This is like the fourth time in 85 years.
This has been going for. This would be the 78th.
No.
Actress?
Actually, I'm on Oscars.com.
On the subject of Best Director, I did get Life of Pi in HD.
Did you?
You guys want to watch it? Because I haven't seen it yet.
I'd like to watch it at some point. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Is anyone? Is it what?
Nothing.
Has anyone seen the Hitchcock film?
No, I have not seen Hitchcock.
The new one?
It's called Hitchcock.
No, I do really want to see that one.
I mean, the previews look good, and Scarlett Johansson.
I actually just watched Lost in Translation that night. Phenomenal. Oh. If you guys haven't seen it, it's actually just a wonderful, wonderful movie.
Yeah,
sure. Did anyone else have an upset, I guess? I've been talking about mine.
An upset?
Yeah, about like someone they thought should have won.
Everything went.
I was pretty happy that Christopher Waltz won.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
how is he not
Christoph
win
Waltz
best
is great.
There's, like I was like, everything this year, everything went the way I thought it was going to. I wished it went differently. And then that's whenever I do my Oscar ballot, I always I start writing in like, wait a minute, I'm writing in what I want to win, not what will win.
Yeah.
Then you're gonna lose.
Yeah.
Then that's what I did. That's why I lost.
But I don't know if you guys had any closing comments. Otherwise, and we talked in the last podcast about we talk about film a lot and we expanding a little bit, but Destiny was a video game made by one of my favorite game developers, Bungie. And I'm sure an upcoming video game, yes. Finally got it announced, or its official announced. It wasn't a leaked mess up on the part of a PR agency.
Right. Lee, you've been waiting forever for them to announce what they're
doing. I've been waiting, and I was a little disappointed. I respect, they're not going to really, they've done just, concept art pictures. They say it's this shared world shooter, but they never tell you how or when, or I think they're waiting for the next Xbox before they talk about details.
They're probably waiting for E3.
Yeah,
E3.
But
Yeah, Lee, I always have a good time listening to your thoughts on anything Bungie, because it's full of admiration and respect and excitement, laced with a hint of disappointment. just a hint.
Because you always want more.
Yep.
Well, there's 350 developers work on this.
Yeah, it's crazy what they're trying to do.
That's astronomical. I mean, it looks really great.
Lee, could you tell us about the idea of a shared world and what that's going to be about?
Supposedly, it's this experience where you can partner up with people, and I'm sure it's going to be like this party system, but you're going to have the opportunity, instead of an MMO where everybody just logs into the same world, they're going to make software in the background that puts people in your world based on levels and skill and this matchmaking thing, and
I think
they're gonna like
the Wikipedia
in,
here
out.
Says that Bungie has emphasized that the universe of Destiny will be alive. Events may happen in game that are not necessarily controlled or planned by developers.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be more like Journey. If you have a PS3 and if you heard of or played a game called Journey, you're playing it. And randomly, there'll be another player that looks just like your character, and they'll come in, and it won't have a name on it.
Yeah,
it
it's a passive multiplayer system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they can just drop in. You can't really communicate besides just a little like blink gesture that you can do.
Hmm.
But you are both going for the same goal, and it's a
and
it's
I'm
poetic
assuming,
and beautiful.
I'm assuming like people can fail, and if they fail, then it affects you or something, and I know like they say like their weather system is completely, you know, auto. It just does whatever it wants, and
yeah,
it's
pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. It and they're trying to make it social and stuff like that. So,
have they released whether it's going to be cross-platform at all? Like, if you're playing on PS3, you can play.
That's what I want, but I doubt it.
Yeah, I don't know if they're gonna be able to get those two guys to get along.
I'd love to be able to play with somebody if they have
right.
PS3 or PS4.
Wasn't there a game that did that though? It's called Shadowrun, or is that just PC and Xbox?
Probably.
Yeah, I don't think you could get those two to come together
that's
to
only,
agree.
That's
to,
only Windows.
Well, before it was because the PS3 was a completely different hardware design. You couldn't, like, games that were styled with PlayStation.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, I don't think you're just, as companies, they're going to get along. They're competing for the customers.
True, but, you know, those bigger companies have always had a little bit of a foot into each game developer.
I don't think it is, because
Bungie's separate from all of them.
They already announced during the PS4, they had Bungie on to announce the product, and they already announced that they're going to have exclusive content for PS before the Xbox. So they're already propping themselves up to get people to get a PS4 because you're gonna have access to.
Do we have do we have any kind of release date estimated for Destiny?
No.
Okay.
Like you can pre-order it, and the pre-order date is December 31st of 2013.
The game is listed originally for release Q3 Q4 2014, so the end of this year.
2014.
2013.
Sorry.
I think it might be this holiday season.
I think it's gonna.
Be
I think we'll
so
be there.
Cool.
I think it's been next year, honestly.
Hmm. I mean, that would make sense if you know about it, you hear about it a bunch at E3, they say coming this holiday season, and then everybody, you know,
freaks out,
mm-hmm. and then we all wait till the holiday season, we pick it up.
Well, we'll have to wait for E3 to see
what
the deal is, I guess.
Which we'll definitely be talking about E3 when that rolls around.
So pumped for it.
Yes. So we'll be back in April, and hopefully the weather is going to be nice.
Hopefully
most of the snow should be gone by then.
The sun is getting warm.
Yeah.
Spring is approaching.
Spring is coming. And we shall be going outside and shooting.
Unfortunately,
finally.
Sultry.
Well, until next time.
Thanks, guys. Peace out.
Yep.
See ya.
Thanks, everybody.